We want to extend a Christian greeting to each one here this morning. It's again a blessing to be gathered together as God's children. I also want to extend a warm welcome to each of the visitors that are here. We have a lot of our own congregation missing this morning, and it's good to have you all here this morning. Thanks for that encouragement, Brother Elmer. It feels kind of different to be here by myself with the other team members gone, but I'm sure they're going to be a blessing where they're at. And I see we have a seasoned preacher here with us this morning. If you still feel you want to come up and share, you're welcome to do that. So, all right, this morning as we look into God's Word again, I'm going to be preaching out of James chapter 3, verses 1 through 12. Today is a subject that I think we all deal with. We all have this little thing that James talks about here, which is the tongue. So let's read James chapter 3, verses 1 through 12. My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths, that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which, though they be so great, and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so the tongue is a little member, and boasteth great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature. And it is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beasts, and of birds, and of serpents, and of things in the sea, is tamed, and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Doth a fountain send forth at the same time, at the same place, sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either a vine figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. Today we want to look at what James says here about managing our tongue. And I've entitled the message, Managing Your Tongue. We live in a world today where words flow freely. And I read just recently, actually as I was studying for this, I came across the statistic that an average person has 30 conversations a day, and you'll spend one-fifth of your life talking using your tongue. Just think about that. In 1 year, we would have 66 books filled with conversations of 800 pages per book. And if you're a man, you speak an average of 20,000 words a day. And if you're a woman, you speak 30,000 words a day. And I'm sure that varies some, but just to give us an idea just how much we actually use our tongue, how much we actually speak. And then our tongues get us into trouble sometimes. And James here talks more about the tongue than anybody else in the New Testament, than any of the other writers. And every chapter in this book, I think James has something to say about our tongue. And I think we all stumble in many ways. And if anyone is never at fault in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to keep his whole body in check. So James is saying, if you can control your tongue, you're perfect. And I don't think he was referring to as being not sinless. The word perfection in Greek literally means to be mature, healthy. When you go to the doctor and you want him to diagnose you with something that you tell him you're not feeling well, and he diagnoses you, one of the first things he does, or that's what they used to do, is check your tongue. The tongue actually will tell him what is going on physically oftentimes, and it also will tell a person what is going on spiritually. We have to have our tongue under control. It is something we cannot do by ourselves. We need God's help in that. The tongue is a small member, but it is powerful and very revealing. It shows what's in the heart. Our words that we speak, they can be like dynamite. And we all know that dynamite, if used properly, is in the right place, is very beneficial. But if it's used improperly, it can be very dangerous. It can produce a lot of damage. So James is stating here that words are significant, and I think it does matter what we speak, what you say and how you say it. James reminds us that our words can be the most powerful influence, or the most powerful force known to man. Words can set the course of nations and individuals. Our words are more powerful than we realize oftentimes. In verses 2 and 4, we have, it says, "For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths, that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold, also the ships, which, though they be so great, and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth." James gives us two illustrations of the power of the tongue here. The one is the bit, and the other a rudder. The tongue, even as small as it is, can exert great influence on the direction of lives. Life-changing events have happened because of the words of man. Saul used his words to blame Israel instead of repenting of his sin and lost the kingdom as a result. It was Israel's words that made Saul their king in the first place. Because of the words of Israel and King Saul, Israel saw great misery and missed out on God's best for that nation. Words have an enormous power to change the direction of lives. As small as a tongue is, we often think that it's insignificant, but it has tremendous power. Let's consider a bit in a horse's mouth. You take a 1,500 to 2,000 pound horse, and you put a small person on the back of that horse. He can control the horse by the bit in his mouth. Likewise, our tongue can control the direction of our life. And a little bit of a word or phrase can influence the total direction of your life, because it is what's in the heart. It will come out through words we speak with our tongue. Let's also consider the rudder, the ship. I looked up two of them. Queen Mary has 3 acres of recreational space on the ship, and it states the anchor is equal to the weight of 10 cars. Yet, what's behind that ship? It's a small rudder that is controlling that huge ocean liner. And then we have the Oasis of the Seas, which is 40% larger than the next largest cruise ship, 5 times larger than the Titanic, carrying 6,600 passengers and over 2,000 crew members, 16 decks tall, 154 foot wide, and almost 1,200 foot long. What is driving that? It's a small rudder in the back that's driving that large ship. That little rudder keeps it on course. And James is saying that is the way our tongue works. It directs where I go, so we have to learn to control our tongue with God's help. Our tongue can also destroy what we have. Let's take the illustration of in verse 5. Even so the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. We know that forest fires, there has been a lot of them going on, especially in the West. And most of those are started with a small spark. And they start and they burn acres and acres. One account, in 1983 in Australia, one fire overnight destroyed over 600 miles of land, villages, and livestock that all came from a single match in an overnight fire. And James is saying that our tongue can destroy like that. It spreads very quickly, the words that we say. Are we choosing our words carefully? The tongue not only has the power to direct where you go, but also to destroy what you have if you don't learn how to control it. Fire will burn out once the fuel is gone. Once there's nothing to burn, then it goes out. And to stop the fires of gossip, slander, and malice, we have to remove the fuel that is promoting that fire, that is fueling that fire. Proverbs says, where no wood is, there the fire goeth out. So where there is no talebearer, the strife ceases. As coals are to burning coals and wood to fire, so is a contentious man to kindle strife. In Proverbs 26, 20 through 21. Most people forget that once that words are out of your mouth, we cannot take them back again. And I think it's important that we think before we speak. And it's very important that we pick our words right, not to hurt somebody else, not to hurt the other person that we're speaking to, or if we're speaking about somebody else, to not hurt that person. The destructive effects of evil speech expand. We might be one person saying something about another person, but that can be very destructive if it's done in the wrong way. Our words can be very devastating to others. In Proverbs 18:21, it says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. In Job 19:2, how long will ye vex my soul and break me in pieces with words? One of the other translations says, how long will you torment me and crush me with words? I think he's saying here that words can create a chain reaction. You can say something that you didn't mean to have any harm, but it can have devastating effects that is beyond our control once it's out of our mouth. There have been many family ties broken because somebody let words slip that they shouldn't have, where otherwise could have possibly been prevented. It works like fire, it destroys. In Proverbs 21:23, whoso keepeth his mouth and his tongue keepeth his soul from troubles. In Ephesians 4:29 through 30, let no corrupt communication, another word for corrupt in parentheses that I put in here is unwholesome, communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying or building up, that it may minister grace unto the hearers, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Paul is saying that when we use words that tear down rather than building up, we are grieving the Holy Spirit of God. God is not pleased with that. God wants us to use words that build up His kingdom. And then we have the prayer of the psalmist in Psalm 19:14. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in Thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Then James uses also another illustration. He uses the illustration of animals. You may call it a zoo. All kinds of animals have been tamed. In verse 7, for every kind of beasts and of birds and of serpents and of things in the sea is tamed and hath been tamed of mankind. But in verse 8 says, but the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. I mean, that's kind of mind-boggling to think that you can tame wild animals, but then no man can tame your small tongue that you have without God's help. It's humanly impossible to tame the tongue. Only God can help us do it. Our words can be like poison. And the word in Greek literally means snake venom. And just a few drops can kill. You can assassinate somebody with your words, the character. And the tongue is a very deadly weapon if not kept in check. In Colossians 3, 8 through 10, but now you yourselves are to put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. Then in 1 Peter 2, 1 through 3, therefore laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Here we are to put off malice, deceit, hypocrisy. I appreciated the devotional this morning on hypocrisy and being authentic and being so that people can see you who you really are and not going behind that mask. Again, our words can act like poison and can be very deadly. Friendships can be broken. Families can be broken. One word that we let slip that we shouldn't have can take a lifetime to get back, to renew that or to have that relationship that we had before we did that. My tongue displays who I am. It reveals my real character. It tells what's really inside of me. James points out here how inconsistent we are in our speech. With the same tongue, we praise God, and then we also curse men with it. In verse 9, therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. God is not pleased if we do that. God wants us to, it's not acceptable to Him to compromise from righteous, holy living. When God transformed us, when we gave our hearts to God, He gave us the power and the capacity for new, redeemed, holy speech. And as Christians, I think He expects us to speak that which is holy and that which is right. In Matthew 12:34, O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. And then 35 through 37, a good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. That's some pretty strong language, isn't it not? He says here that every idle word that men shall speak, we shall give account throughout the day of judgment. So it is important. Our words are important, what we speak. Let's choose them carefully. If we use wrong words, I think it can also reveal the depravity of our hearts. And it just shows how much we are in need of God's grace every day. It's a daily work, not just on Sundays, but it's a daily thing that we need to keep asking God to keep a check on our tongue. As we're here in church this morning, we sang praises, we prayed. That's the highest thing that we can use our tongues for, is praising God. But how quickly can that change? If we start next week, Monday, we meet up with something that strikes us the wrong way. How do we react to that? How does our speech, what words come out of our mouth? James is saying here that shouldn't be. It's amazing how quickly it can change. And I'm speaking to myself. In studying for this, I saw where there were areas in my life, in my speech, where I'm inconsistent. And it's important that we choose our words carefully. Our families, husbands to wives, wives to husbands. How do we as parents relate to our children? Is it loving? Is it kind? Are we coming through to them authentic and not as a hypocrite? How is it possible that one minute we can be speaking with someone harshly, and then the next breath we're speaking about the love of God? James, here in verse 11 and 12, he says, "Can both, doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either a vine figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh." Whatever's in the well comes out of the well. Whatever is in here in your heart will come out of your heart. Whatever is on the tree, is it an apple tree? It's going to bear apples. What's the likelihood of an apple tree producing cherries? It's not much of a chance. So if there's a problem with our tongue, there's a problem with how we react to situations using words, then I think the problem comes to the heart. I think there's a heart problem. I think it reveals what's inside. Our speech, our words will eventually betray what is really on the inside of us. We can try and fool people and get behind that mask that Kelvin was talking about this morning, but eventually it will catch up with us. It's going to let us know what's really inside. Jesus said in Matthew 12:34, "For out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks." He said, "What's inside of you is what's going to come out. My tongue just displays what I am. It directs where I go. It can destroy what I have. It reveals our character." So if we have a problem with our tongue this morning, then let's look into our heart and ask God to go in there and fix our heart. I think it can also work the other way. A person that has a loving heart, Our words can be delight to others. And I trust that each one of our desire here this morning is to be an encouragement and to be a help to other people through our words. And there again, we often don't realize the power that our words have in being an encouragement to others and in speaking out of an honest heart. In Proverbs 18:4, the mouth of the righteous man is a well of life. In Proverbs 12:18, the tongue of the wise is health. In Proverbs 12:25, heaviness in the heart of a man maketh it stoop, but a good word maketh it glad. In Proverbs 25:11, a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in pictures of silver. In other words, a good word spoken at the right time is better than golden apples in a silver basket. Next time you see someone that is heavy, that has a stooped shoulder, let's use our tongue to give them encouragement. Our words can refresh and encourage someone that is discouraged and ready to give up and quit. Words can give new life to a relationship that is strained, that has been broken. So what is the solution to a tongue problem? I think one is, we covered briefly here, is getting a new heart. Getting a heart that's God's living in. And in Ezekiel 18:31, rid yourself of all the offenses you have committed and get a new heart and a new spirit. If we take a well with water in it and we paint the outside of the well, will that make a difference in the water? No. Whatever's inside that pump is what's going to come out of that well. Same is for us. Whatever is inside the heart is what's going to come out of our heart. You cannot change the water by making the outside look better. In 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new person. The old has passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And that's exciting, thinking of a new life, new heart, new spirit. When you come to Jesus Christ, He wipes out everything you've done in the past. Even if you've messed up, and you see that, yes, I'm having a problem with my tongue, you can have a fresh start today. Create in me a clean heart, O God, because what's in your heart is what's going to come out. I think another thing that is very important is that we pray. I think we need to ask God for help every day to keep our words sweet. We need supernatural power to control our tongue. We cannot do it on our own. In Psalm 141:3, another prayer, set a guard over my mouth, O Lord, keep watch over the door of my lips. That's a great verse to memorize and to pray every morning that He would watch the door of our, to guard our mouth and watch the door of our lips. To put a muzzle on our mouth. Let's not see how many things we can find wrong with the other person. To be critical, or saying things that we later are going to regret. Let's think before we speak. We need to ask God for help daily because we need His power in our lives to make that happen. A quote, the proof that God's Spirit is in your life is not that you speak in an unknown tongue, but you control the tongue you do know with God's help. You watch your words, and God gives you the power to not slander, exaggerate, gossip, There's the list could go on. Another part is reading God's Word. I think is a very important part in helping us with our words. And as we study God's Word, as we ask Him for help, as we read His Word, we're filling our hearts, we're filling our mind with the things that will come out of our mouth. Fill your mind with the Word of God, with positive things. In Philippians 4:8, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Fill your mind with the Word of God. And then another point, as I had stated before, is thinking before you speak. And I know I have experienced that already, that I'm too quick to answer something without thinking it through. And then later, I wish I wouldn't have said it or said it in a different way. In James 1:19, everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. Let's engage our mind before we engage our tongue. Quick to listen, slow to speak. If we're quick to listen, I think we will think twice before we speak. What is your tongue saying about you this morning? I just want to throw that out as a challenge. What does it reveal about you? What does it reveal about me this morning? If you were to record your conversation in a day's time, what would you hear if you would re-record it or play it at the end of the day? God hears it all. Our tongues display who we are. What direction is your words, your tongue taking you? Just like a bit and a rudder must be under the guidance of some hand, I think the same way, let's let Jesus have the control of our tongue. Let's have Christ have control of our heart. You let Christ's hand be on your bit, the rudder, and He can direct your life. Maybe we need to ask for forgiveness. Maybe we need to go to that person and tell them I'm sorry, or to your children and tell them I'm sorry. I'm inconsistent in the way I talk. Sometimes talking lovingly, sometimes harshly. We're all human. We make mistakes. But if that's the case, let's go do it. It's not worth it to just push it off and be bothered by it. Think before you speak. Several questions here that I want us to consider if we do that. The word think, T-H-I-N-K. T, is it true? Is what you're getting ready to say, is it the truth? Or is it something that you're supposing to be the truth or that you heard and you're not sure? The H is what I'm about to say, is it going to be helpful? Will it help the other person? Or will it cause the other person to have more of a stooped shoulder? The I, is it inspiring? Will it inspire the other person what I'm about to say? than the N, is it necessary? And then the K, is it kind? Some questions that I think we do well if we consider speaking, saying something. Let's consider these questions, and I think it will help us in our words. I think as we do that, I think relationships can be built up. Broken relationships can be restored again. I think if we are about to say something and it does not pass the test of these questions, then we should probably not say those words. I think we have all been hurt at one time or another by words that have hurt. So what do you do with that if somebody has hurt you with words? My advice to you this morning would be to let it go. The longer you hold on to those things that people say about you, it will begin to develop bitterness and resentment in your life. The best thing we can do is to forgive that other person and to release that person. I think we need to be gracious to those who have said things that may have hurt us. They may have some turmoil going on in their life that you don't know anything about. And let's be sensitive to that. Let's be sensitive to others, as that other person may be going through something that you can help them with just by saying some simple words of encouragement. And as we think of what Jesus, what he has put up with us, he laid down his life for us as sinners. He laid down his life, and we can surely be gracious to others. Sometimes it requires that we're quiet and not say something back. Sometimes remaining silent is the best thing that we can do. So let's keep our words sweet. Let's be kind. Let's be gentle with our words. Let's approach that other person that we think has hurt us with prayer, realizing that they are also human, just like us. And then ask God for help. Pray to God to give you a stronger and a deeper walk with Him, asking Him to help us to both forgive and forget the things that were done to you. I think the simple truth is that we will never gain ground in our spiritual walk with God if we try to defend ourselves every time someone says or does something that we think isn't right or that is against us. I think the best choice that we can make is going with God and taking the high road in all situations and doing our best to rise above things that we think get us down. This morning, maybe you have said something about someone that needs to be corrected. Ask God's forgiveness and go and make amends. Maybe you have been hurt by the word of another. Let's ask God for help and move on. Let's forgive that person. And let's strive to live in such a way that our words can bring glory and honor to the kingdom of Jesus. That should be our utmost desire, is to bring glory and honor to Christ. Are we doing that with our words this morning? Am I doing that with my words, with my tongue? In closing, I have three scripture verses yet here that I want to quote. In Proverbs 13:3, "He that keepeth his mouth keepeth his life, but he that openeth wide his lips shall have destruction." In Proverbs 21:23, "Whoso keepeth his mouth and his tongue keepeth his soul from troubles." Then in 1 Peter 3:10, "For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. Another thing that I was going to mention is there's people, there's others watching us, there's others following us with our words, with the words that we use, with the words that we use that might not be necessary. Maybe we do well to just omit those words from our vocabulary. I trust, as we're gathered here, each one of us, I trust our desire is to glorify God with the words that we speak. And I just want to commit all of you to God, to that end, that we can live a life that is pleasing to God, that our words can be pleasing to God, and that we can be an encouragement to others. Shall we kneel for a word of prayer? Our loving Father in heaven, we thank you so much this morning for being with us again. Thank you for this portion of scripture about our words and our tongue, and that you are concerned about how we say our words and what we say. Help us to be sensitive to others around us, to those that we connect with and speak with. May our words be sweet. May they be kind and gentle, realizing that, realizing the power of our tongue and the power of our words. So just cleanse our hearts from anything that should not be there, anything that we have done that have hurt other people. Father, we ask for your forgiveness, and may you just go with us, Father. Help us to bless others as we have opportunity. Thank you for who you are and for being with us again this morning. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.